There's a guy named Adrian. He works at a desk all day long. This guy named Adrian, he asked me if I could write a song. September 14th, and you are listening to Just a Bit Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Chumpy Crash Reynolds, and I'm back. And this is my lovely assistant, my lovely partner, my lovely co-host, Adrian Bertazoy Townsend. Whoop. And you've come to the one place where every input is auxiliary.
That was a little bit sexy.
Was it dark?
It was more sexy than dark.
Okay, I wasn't trying to come across as threatening.
I'm feeling threatened over here.
I thought you might be.
Welcome back, Ryan.
Thank you.
Wow.
I finally got lost. On the way here a month ago.
A month ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the show's been slightly different without you, but we carried on.
I'm glad. I'm glad you guys did.
You were able to record. We were setting up to record tomorrow, and the wrench got thrown in that plan. And then we were trying to figure out another day. And then Ryan was like, "What about tonight?
Like right now?
Like right now?" As I was driving home from my convention, I was at today. I was like, "You know, yeah, tonight. If we're gonna do it tonight, anytime, it might as well be an unscheduled, on a whim time.
You know? Might as well.
Yeah."
Like I said, I finally got directions and found my way back. It felt like a long month. Like
yeah, it did.
Missing two shows felt like a long time. Felt like
so. Do you feel like a newbie on this podcast now?
A little bit. I kind of feel like I should be Amy's guest.
She did a pretty good job.
She did.
Yeah, I was impressed with her filling in. It was a different type of show, I guess.
Well, yeah,
The format changed, the topics changed, the comedy was, you know, different. I won't say it wasn't there, but it was different.
I mean, it was just a different energy.
Yeah. It was more discussion oriented. Yeah.
Like on one hand you have a married couple and on the other hand you have you and Amy.
Well, yeah, sure. I'll let you have that one, Ryan. Oh man.
So we haven't talked much.
No, we haven't.
Not a whole lot. We've both been terribly busy.
And it's a good catching up podcast.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm excited to record today.
Me too. Tonight. You gave me a list of things to look over to talk about that I didn't do. So we got that going for us.
Well, you know, I do have an outline that we'll talk about a few things, but you know, I figured we can let things pop up on this show just because it's been a while and you know. We can come up with some things to talk
about.
It's
popping, homie.
That's right. Like my popper toy.
Your popper toy. That thing's
so, super awesome.
It's fucking cool. It startled me a little.
Yeah.
I thought it was a top. And then whenever you put it on the desk, yeah. I thought I was waiting for it to spin and it jumped at me.
So it's a...
It was spookier than that VR game that you and Amy had me play.
Oh, well,
that
says a lot.
That was my real jump scare, was that a children's toy fucking came up at me.
It's cool. It's like one of those old fashioned turn them inside out.
It's rounded. Neat. It's cool.
And it pops up, but it's got a little stick in it. And so you're supposed to turn it by the stick and drop it on the table and then it pops up and it pops really high.
It does. It's neat.
Let's go ahead and get started with the outline and we'll just, you know, see where that goes from there.
All right. Well.
Okay. First up, I wanted to talk about the Nintendo Switch a little bit. I know that's kind of the focus that we usually talk about, but seeing how you got one right before or on our last, or the last episode you were on.
I had finally gotten one.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it too much, I guess, in your hiatus.
Man. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about how great of a year, first year, Nintendo was having with the Switch.
Oh, shit,
dude. It was off to a really slow start, okay? I will admit, I haven't touched my Switch, geez, in months. Yeah. What was that face about?
I'm so sorry. Can I...
Okay.
Can I do anything to help you?
Okay, for those of you just listening, when I said that, I was looking at him. He gave me this confused, like, what the hell are you talking about?
It's we literally, before recording, discussed making less wiener jokes, making less sexual innuendo, and then he just serves that up to me. Just full tilt, haven't touched my Switch in months. Sorry, homie.
At least it's not called a Wii. That's more of a lead-off.
Yeah, this is a bit more unveiled, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, I touched my Switch, finally.
Parupa the Fupa.
Yeah.
He condones this message.
You had to explain to me what a Fupa was before we started recording. Anyway.
Right, so.
I need to brush up on my Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, dude. I spend like half my time on Urban Dictionary.
Apparently. You know, all these words I've never heard before. Anyway, the Switch, man.
So back to what you were saying.
They had a Nintendo Direct. Are you familiar with these?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I missed it. The one, what was that, yesterday? I had every intention to, and then didn't.
Yeah, much like- I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, but Twitter helped me out there. So they announced that Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is going to be coming out this year. And I'm a huge RPG fan. I'm a huge RPG collector. And I'm a big Xenoblade Chronicles fan, or Xenoblade in general, is the series in general. I love it. So I'm super excited to be able to play Xenoblade on my Nintendo Switch.
Sorry.
Don't make me giggle.
I'm just thinking of all the missed opportunities with the not touching your Switch thing. I'm sorry. Sorry, we can move on past it. All right.
Well, okay.
So,
beyond that, they also had, we had Zelda. We had a Zelda game earlier this year. It was a launch game. We have Mario Odyssey coming out in a month, you know? We have Splatoon 2, which I haven't played yet. I haven't picked that up.
I haven't even played the first one.
It's fun. It's a good online game. I don't know. I haven't been interested enough to pick it up. But we have the first one.
It was on the Wii U, right?
Yeah, it was. The first one was on the Wii U, and I'm still satisfied with playing that one. And I don't see enough changes in the two to justify $60 right now. Excuse me. We also had a re-release of Mario Kart 8, which is awesome. Yeah.
In case I hadn't mentioned it yet, they're going to port Skyrim over.
Skyrim? Yes, yeah. I was going to mention that.
Just in case I hadn't said it yet in previous podcasts.
Skyrim is coming soon, and so is Doom.
Doom?
Yeah.
They're porting Doom. I didn't even fucking know that.
Yeah, they announced that yesterday as well. So
that's awesome.
We have Doom coming. What else? Oh, man, there were some other things I'm not thinking of right now. We had a brand new Sonic game. It went to all the systems, but ideally, I'm going to play it on the Switch. I love the handheld, you know?
I mean, really, at this juncture, I plan to play anything on the Switch that I had the option to play on there. I mean, you know that I'm my fan level of PlayStation and PS4 in general, but I'm so crazy about the Switch right now.
How much time do you think you've put into it since you
got it? Oh, it's fucking bananas, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've got kids. We both got kids. So most times you find a play is going to be when they're in bed.
When they're in bed, when we're in bed.
Yes.
When we're exhausted and ready to be done with the day.
There's been a lot of like, hey, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock. The kids are asleep. I'm going to play for 30, 45 minutes and then look up and it's 2 in the fucking morning. Yeah. There's been a lot of that going around. A lot of early morning regret. Yes. Whenever the kids get up.
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't even looked at how many hours I've logged on Breath of the Wild at this point.
Are you just running around doing random things, or are you following the story?
Do you know me?
Yes. I don't even have to ask that.
I'm still in Kakariko Village as far as the beginning of the story goes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's early.
I've already got, I forgot the name. I already defeated the divine beasts.
Was it the elephant?
It was the bird.
Oh, the bird. Okay. Yeah.
Whenever I was on the Great Plateau and you unlocked the Great Plateau Tower.
Yeah.
I pulled out my Sheikah vision or whatever and was looking around the map and saw that fortress floating at the other end of the map and was like, fuck the story. What that is.
Yeah, that's exactly my thought.
And I took off that direction and spent several weeks getting sidetracked and doing other shit on my way to that. And then found out what it was and fought that dungeon and then started picking my way back across the map to Kakariko Village. I've already scaled the entire Hyrule Castle.
Yeah.
Really?
Without dying? I mean, that castle, they've got like ships flying around it and stuff.
Yeah, they're timed. You just got to figure out what. And if you're on a wall, those ships can't find you.
Oh, okay.
Some of them.
Well, in the Guardians, they have Guardians that will find you as well.
Just got to avoid them.
Yeah, I didn't have a hard time, but it was tough.
It took me several days of trial and error to pick my way. Like, my entire goal, my entire reasoning there was I just wanted to get to the top of Hyrule Castle and then see how far I could glide.
Oh, yeah.
That was my end game.
Well, I think you unlock an ability at some point where you can glide further or longer or something. No. It's your stamina. Thinking of something. Yeah. When you upgrade your stamina, you can glide forever, man.
And I've been working on upgrading my stamina quite a bit. But
how many hearts did you have
when I did that?
Yeah. You'd have to have quite
three,
a few. Really?
Three or four.
Oh, man. You're brave. I wouldn't step foot in your Hyrule Castle.
Like I said, it was difficult, but lots of trial and error, lots of deaths.
Yeah.
Lots of saving while like climbing a wall.
But you can't help it. Like, the Hyrule Castle looks cool. Like, when I saw it the first time, I knew I wasn't strong enough to go there because I started to in the Guardians.
But you were like, I want to be inside that.
I got to get there. I have to get there. So, yes, I understand that. But the Divine Beast, what'd you think of that aspect of it? Like,
it's cool.
It's fun, isn't it?
I dig it. I really, really do.
This is the one where he kind of tilts a little bit to make the balls roll where they need to go. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Sorry, God.
it was super fun doing that, I thought.
I was on the last, I guess, like, control station of that one.
Yeah.
Where you've got to tilt it and move the balls around and everything. I was on the last one when I figured out that was a function of the challenge.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I did the entire thing, like, the hard way, apparently.
So I wonder, you haven't been to the elephant yet, then, I take it.
I have not. Okay. That's the only divine beast I've been to.
Okay. So the elephant was the first one that I made it to, and it was hard. I had a really tough time with that one, especially the boss at the end. The boss was really hard. I wish that I would have started out with something like the bird one, because I thought the bird one of the four was probably one of the easier ones to get through.
Va Meadow?
Oh, I don't remember their names at all. Yeah, it's more fresh on your mind than mine right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the puzzles in the bird were kind of, they weren't that complicated. Wait till you get to that elephant. Well, you may have an easier time since you did the bird first and you kind of understand what the gist of the puzzles could be.
Well, I spent most of my time just shrine hunting.
Yeah.
And practicing all those abilities.
Which is fun enough. I had a fun time
really
just
is.
Doing that.
Yeah. And finding horses.
What do you think about the dude that you have to, the ghost that you have to release from the bird? He's kind of an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
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 I didn't like him at all.
That was like the first memory that I unlocked in the game was that guy and him being a show-off.
Yeah, I don't like him.
It's just like, I feel like he was probably like some like alternate reality version of Falco from Star Fox.
The kind of cocky just, and
yeah,
mean.
And he kind of looked like him. Yeah. I'm not saying all birds look the same. It's 2017. I'm not saying that.
Yeah. I feel you. I know you're coming
I've got
from.
Some bird friends.
I can't say that I do. I am a birdazoid after all.
You are the birdazoid. And in reality, you're, well, we call my daughter the bird. So I've got two bird friends.
Why do you call her the bird?
I don't know.
Really?
Her name, I think it just started with us calling her Tilly Bird.
Oh, okay.
And then
okay.
she just became the bird. And then we're big Always Sunny in Philadelphia fans.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Olsen's character on there, Sweet D, they all call her Bird. Shut up. Okay. Shut up, Bird. And so it happened one day that my daughter had been just mad, yelling all day. And I was like, shut up, Bird. And I was like, oh, shit. I just turned my daughter into
Bird,
a mediocre sitcom character. Actually,
you know what's,
I love Always Sunny. It's mediocre.
What's funny about that story is I have a very similar story in my family as well. My uncle, his name is Kerry, and he used, when he was a kid, they used to call him Canary Bird or Kerry Bird. So he became known as Bird. In fact, I don't know many people that even called him Kerry. It was always just Bird.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's his name.
Generally, we just call my daughter Bird.
So you have a bird in your family and I have a bird in mine.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I used to. He passed. But I will always remember him because his name was unique and he's a cool uncle. He's a nice guy. Anyway, back on the Switch a little bit. So one of the things that they announced yesterday was a game called Project Octopath Traveler, I think. And what it is it's an RPG that is in a 3D world. So it's a 2D RPG in a 3D world, if that makes sense. Your character is a sprite-based 2D character, but the world that he's in is a 3D, still kind of sprite-based world. It's the 3D world is kind of like 3D Game Heroes. I don't know if you've heard of that or not. Actually, I've got it right here. I can show it to you. So the world kind of resembles something like that. Not that blocky, but.
Because this just kind of looks like Minecraft to me.
It's a lot more detailed than that. But imagine if they took an old Super Nintendo game and then took the background environments and made them 3D.
A Bomberman. That's what I'm thinking of, is that it would look like Bomberman.
It's more like take an old RPG or a side scroller for that matter and just push the environment backwards.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
So when they announced the game yesterday, they also announced that there would be a demo available to download. So I went ahead and downloaded the demo and played it last night before I went to bed. And dude, I am totally sold on this game.
And it's a free demo?
Yeah, you need to try it out. I will. I don't know how you feel about, classic JRPG style, turn-based combat and stuff like that.
I've never really been into turn-based combat.
This game is I had a hard time with the combat. It was not easy. And the just regular enemies take so many hits to kill. Like their HP is through the roof. I don't understand. That didn't make sense to me. They have a huge combo system that your characters can do. So you go ahead and you tack, and it builds up one extra turn. And each time you do that, you can get up to four extra turns. So then when you have those turns built up, then you can take a turn and attack them all with all four at once, doing like quadruple damage, I guess. But they also have a weakness system on the enemies. Kind of like Persona. I know I'm kind of going over your head here, but you use enemies are weak against different things, such as knife attacks or magic attacks, certain magic attacks like fire or water or whatever. And when you do that, it kind of makes them dizzy where they can't attack for a turn. And they also take double damage. So you can attack them and do double damage. And even with all those in place, the average random encounter took me probably 2 minutes at least to get through. It was just, it's excessive. Usually a JRPG with a random encounter, you're into the screen, you're doing it, you're done within 30 seconds.
I mean, that's kind of always been my issue with turn-based
playing
is is that it can get so labor intensive, you know.
The one thing that
I just jump in. I like to just jump in and swing shit around until somebody dies.
Yeah, well, you can't really do that in this game, but the encounter rate is much lower than a standard RPG, JRPG. I went through this one area and it took me probably I don't know. I think I went into a random encounter like four times in that whole dungeon, which is pretty good. So they're offsetting the time that the battle takes with the amount of random encounters you have. But when I finished that dungeon, I went and fought the boss and he blew me away. I mean, he was just tough. I couldn't beat it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go back and try it again tonight. But when you start the demo, you can start off with two different characters. I chose the dancer. It's a female character who this is one thing that sold me on the game. Okay. So it's not the female scantily clad pixelated dancer. It's I just chose her because she was the first one there. And I was like, oh, interesting. A dancer. I've never seen that as a main character in an RPG. I'm going to try her out. Her story starts off with her father being murdered by these three men with crows on them or something. And so her goal is to find these three men that killed her father to get revenge.
That's a bit blunt on the storyline.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a group of crows is called a murder. She's looking for the murder that murdered her father.
True.
She's going to go murder the murder that murdered her father.
Well, one had a crow on one left arm, one on the right arm, and one on the back of the
neck. Do they call themselves the murder?
No.
No?
No.
Because it'd be hard to live that down in
court.
They're just
guys who murdered her dad, who was a king or something. I don't know. He was somebody important. So the story jumps ahead a little bit, and she is working for basically like what do you call those? A pimp, I guess. So she dances for this pimp, and he is the epitome of an evil, evil man. Just sick, twisted, you know, just bad, bad guy. You know, I was uncomfortable sitting through this story just to give you an idea of how bad this game portrays him as a character.
He's a motherfucking PIMP.
The worst of the worst, man. He is like, he calls her kitten. You know, he's very like talking down on her and sexist and everything. And she is his favorite of his girls. They make him money by dancing in a, you know, like a strip club type joint.
Okay.
And they're supposed to go out and seek men to come into the strip club to raise more money for the pimp, right? So he has total control. They call him master, you know. And he
sounds like solid business dealings.
It's the dude is so incredibly evil. Like you want to see this dude get just fucked. You know, he's so bad.
He's a pimp, so I'm sure he does.
Poor choice of words on my part, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. At least you look pretty.
So he finally, towards the end of the demo, before you have to fight him, murders one of your friends, and this girl is trying to help you out, and she helps you get out of there, in fact, and he murders her right in front of him. So you're just like, I gotta fuck this guy up.
I gotta kill this guy.
Yeah. But he messed me up. He tore me up. Like, it was hard. So
he got me.
He got me. He got me good.
And now you are one of his call girls. You are now a woman of the night.
Oh, well.
Birdzoid of the night.
But I'm telling you, man, the dialogue, the voice acting, everything about it was just unsettling and creepy and just, I don't know. I was.
And what's it called?
It's called Project Octopath. When you get on your Switch later, get on the store and go on the new releases. It's the first thing there.
Is it like a choose your own adventure type game?
It's set up strictly just like a JRPG.
Got it.
And but it's very heavily story driven. And I'm kind of curious to see your take on it because, you know, my wife was laying in bed while I was playing this and she was hearing it. She goes, that's really kind of disturbing. I was like, yeah, I agree. And, so we, just because of that alone makes me want to get this game.
Yeah.
Because the storyline is not childish, I guess, and it's not your standard fare for a JRPG. It's a lot more mature, and there, I want to know what's happening, and I want to know, I want to see this woman's story through. She is not the only character you can choose from. When we started the demo, there was a circle of characters, probably like 8 of them, and you could only play as 2 in the demo.
Okay.
And so yeah, I've got to finish her story, and then I got to start the other guy's story that's in there too. It's really cool. I am totally digging this game so far, and I curious to see what your thought is.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I can't promise.
Yeah.
That I'll and actually. I mean, it's like every time I turn on the Switch, I have the intention of like looking in the eStore and looking at like the little news articles that pops up and
right.
all that shit. But then I just turn on Legend Zelda. Of Zelda, and that's
honestly stick with Zelda until you're done.
until my thirst is quenched.
Yeah, I don't see you really digging this game anyway. You might dig the story part of it, but the right. gameplay may not be your thing. Yeah, but I'm excited, and I think that's a game that's coming out this year. I hope it is, because I'm definitely picking it up. I already pre-ordered Xenoblade and Mario Odyssey, so I'm already in debt to a couple Switch games before the end of the year.
Yeah, I've been holding off on new game purchases because
I would keep it that way, honestly.
I mean, I've downloaded some stuff on like PlayStation Network. Fat Big downloaded World of Tanks. I have
a couple friends who are real deep into that game.
I haven't touched it yet, but yeah. He downloaded. I was like, "What is that?" And he was like, "Fat Cars." It's like, "All right, man."
Fat big cars.
So I might check out World of Tanks since he downloaded it.
Yeah.
You know, I downloaded, what is it called? It's like a space war game. Dreadnought. I downloaded Dreadnought.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that.
It's like intergalactic space combat.
Like, is it one of those free to plays?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it's like a massive online.
Okay.
And so basically you have your spaceship and you can customize the weapons on it and everything. And then everybody just gets on and like fucking does space battles. It was in beta for up until last month, maybe.
Okay.
And then it hit the marketplace last month, and they've sent some updates and some downloadable content for it. And apparently it's like really popular right now. It's taken off. So I went ahead and downloaded that. And haven't touched it. Like, I keep going and downloading shit and then turning on Breath of the Wild.
I'd say milk Breath of the Wild for as much as you can get out of it.
Oh, no shit, dude. It's...
I would like to go back to the game, but at this point in time, I feel like...
I almost sold my Switch.
Oh, really?
Almost sold it.
Man.
I didn't play for like 3 days and was like, yeah, I think I'll be all right. You know, like... I got my fill, and then I had it all packaged up, and my wife was like, why are you getting rid of that? That's all you talked about for like 8 months,
yeah.
was wanting that thing. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think I did it. And she's like, well, why don't you play it one last time? And I was like, okay.
Hold off.
And then, no, I changed my mind.
Okay.
I played it that one last time.
Well, I know
time.
Your mind might get changed again, so I'm warning you, hold off. I think Mario Odyssey is going to be fantastic. I am super pumped for that game.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. It'll be good.
It's going to be Mario's version of Zelda, in my opinion. It looks like it's just going to be this just off the wall, explore different worlds type of game. And I'm super pumped. So, yeah, hold off until you at least get that one.
OK, I will.
If that doesn't sell you and you feel like you need to sell it after that, do what you want.
Okay, I appreciate your permission.
I am demanding you not to sell it.
Your words of confidence that I should hold off.
So, Ryan.
Yeah.
You've heard of this SNES classic, right?
SNES.
SNES it up.
Yeah, that little fella.
Yeah.
You got one did you get one?
Well, I have an NES classic.
Oh, you got but you're going to get the SNES classic too, right?
I have 3 of them pre-ordered.
Why?
Well, one for me.
Okay.
One for a buddy of mine at work, and another one for another friend of mine who... I had 2 people... who know that I can get on the pre-orders when they come up. So both of them asked for help. I texted them to let them know when the pre-orders went live, but I went ahead and pre-ordered again to see if I could, in case they couldn't. Luckily, neither one of them could get through. And excuse me. One friend of mine, Billy, he listens to the show. Shout out, Billy. Thanks for listening, man.
What up, Bill?
I hooked him up with, with a Super Nintendo Classic. And I, every time I they went on pre-order, I texted him and let him know. And he tried every single source that I gave him to try to pre-order, and he couldn't get one. I was like, got your bag, dude. So I hooking him up. And then a friend of mine at work also got one for as well. So yeah, I'm happy to be getting one. At least all of our friends, my friends are going to get one that
you're
want
like a,
one.
You're like a video game drug lord.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. My wife actually calls me that. She,
yeah,
she said, you're like the contact guy for the, you know, you can get the stuff that they want. So anyway, yeah, I hooked up my friends. But the big news this week is that Nintendo announced that they are going to be reproducing the NES classics to be put on market next year. So hopefully everybody who didn't get one or didn't have a chance to get one, and I know quite a few people who don't have one who really wanted one.
Right.
You're going to have your chance next year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. On top of that, they announced that the Super Nintendo Classic, they originally announced that they were only going to produce them through the end of this year and then stop production. Well, they just announced that because of demand, they're going to extend production into next year.
That's
which
exciting.
Is great news. And it's a sign that they're finally listening to the fans and not, you know, stinging out on their product that everybody wants.
I mean, that's fantastic. You know, I always get really excited for announcements like that and for things like that to pop up and hit the market. And then I look at it, I'm like, man, that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And then I never buy one. Cause I don't know that I would personally get the value out of it for right. what I'm paying.
Right.
You know? Cause I mean, you know, I'll get like one or two games going at a time that I'm really, really into. And that's all I'll play for 6 or 8 months is yeah. those one or two games.
And if, unless you're like deeply nostalgic for those classic games, those retro games, then yeah, I
get and it. I just still have all those old systems around my house that still work, you know?
That's true. I mean, and you seem to be like, you seem to have started around the N64 era.
That was my real awakening.
So if they were to release an N64 classic, would you be about that?
Dude, I would do a lot of things to get, I would do a lot of things to an N64 classic.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities at this point.
I'd be fucking stoked if yeah. they did that. Also, whoever, this is a message from the future, whoever intercepts this message, talk to someone and get a Sega Dreamcast classic in the works. Somebody.
So I didn't know you had feelings for the Sega Dreamcast.
They're intimate.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have one?
No, my buddy did.
Yeah.
And that may be the only reason I was his friend, honestly. Was to fucking play Power Stone, man.
Mm.
That was it. I just wanted to play Power Stone all day and all night. I would go to bed thinking about Power Stone.
Really?
There were nights that I'd just lay in bed, just like, yep. Just like replaying my fights in yeah. my head and like, how am I going to do better when I go over to his house tomorrow?
You know what's funny about that?
I loved it. I loved the Dreamcast.
There it is right there. I got one.
Do you have Power Stone on that?
I don't. So, but I have a burned.
What fucking good is it?
I have a burned copy. Is that
does it work?
It works.
Then you have Power Stone on it.
I don't have the actual physical copy.
As long as it looks like it on the TV, you can fool me.
Okay.
You can just dress up pretty and tell me what I want to hear, and we'll have a really good time.
I don't have any real ties to that game. I had a Dreamcast.
Honestly, it's probably not as good as I remember it being. I just remember having a real attachment to it. I almost made another sexual joke, but changed my mind.
So, that Dreamcast is the same Dreamcast. That was the first console I ever purchased with my own money. And I remember pre-ordering the thing and going to Babbage's in the Quell Springs Mall.
Babbage's, man. Remember that? Shit.
And, I went there on release day, stood in line to get my Dreamcast, and what game did I get? I don't even remember. Sonic Adventure, I think, is all I got.
That game was the jam too, dude.
It was cool.
It was cool. I think we've talked about Sonic Adventure before, though.
Yeah. But, you know, I didn't ever play or have Power Stone. I did play it. And I think I played a demo unit at work. I used to work at Toys R Us. And I'm pretty sure.
It was good. It was a good game. I think yeah. that games like
it's like a Smash Brothers.
Like I think like games like Smash Brothers, like the continuation of that, and series like Soul Calibur.
Yeah.
I feel like those, like some of those like long running fighting franchises might have taken some elements from Power Stone as far as gameplay mechanics and, you know, like the big animated reactions mm-hmm. and actually like in fight incentives for doing certain things. Like I just maybe it was like a, just a total like dog shit game that I love.
No, it's a fun game. And it's
okay,
still,
okay.
It's still regarded as a classic.
Just making sure I'm not wrong.
No, you're right. So Ryan, before we started recording, you told me a little story about Fat Big. And we haven't heard the Chronicles of Fat Big in a month.
Oh, God.
And so I was wondering if you wanted to tell that story on the podcast.
Which one?
The curse word story.
That he has discovered the value and proper use of the F word.
Yes.
No thanks to me. We all know that I don't
speak. You did not contribute to
that. No, I don't speak that way.
He learned it from his mom.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. Love you, sweetie. Like she listens.
Hey, no. Maybe she does. I didn't think Amy listened, and she listened to every episode.
No, no, no. Shelby's response was, I listen to you talk all day, every day.
Oh, that's right.
Why would I like to listen to it more? I think she listens in secret.
Oh, yeah.
This is her challenge.
She needs more insight on who you are as a person. The person she has not seen before.
Nah, she's pretty much seen all of it.
I agree. My wife knows. There's nothing my wife does not know about me. I guarantee it.
The only difference between you and my wife is she starts yelling before I make a dick joke.
She sees it coming before it does.
She sees it coming a mile away. She knows. She knows to wait for the eyebrows. So, yeah. Fat Big and I were having a good time the other day. And we're standing in the living room, and I don't remember what he did. I think it had to do, he probably like hit one of the dogs or fucking sit on his baby sister, sat on her, or I don't know. Or we were getting ready to leave, and he took off his pants. He's big on that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like
my son is too.
On the way out the door, pants coming off.
Yeah.
And then says things like, it's okay. I'll put them on later. Or, no, the kicker, we were trying to go to the grocery store the other day. I said, Malone, put on your fucking pants. And he goes, hey, it's okay. You don't have to wear them either. I got a two-year-old telling me I don't have to wear pants in the store.
Two-year-old logic, man. I love it.
Right. And because his logic is daddy is the boss, so daddy does what he wants. So I didn't want to shatter that idea for him. So instead of saying, no, daddy's an adult, daddy has to wear pants to the store, I said, I know I don't have to. I choose to. Because that made sense to him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was about to say, how'd that fly over?
We didn't go to the store.
He won.
His pantsless self won.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
So, we were, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I want you to tell your story, but we were also talking about the terrible twos and a toddler boy is far worse than all three of my girls put together.
Well, he's a month away from being what my wife and I have dubbed a three-nager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three-nager. That is absolutely right, dude. That is a good term for it.
Yeah.
My son is 3 years old, and he's an asshole. He is a straight up asshole.
They all are at this age, man.
He's like, you could see like there's some emotional stuff going on in that kid's head.
Like when you get onto him and he just stops and you can see the wheels turning, he's like, how am I gonna fuck dad up real quick?
Oh man, he is like right now he's all about hitting. He's all about getting his own way. He was sitting on the couch the other day and he tells Caroline, my 10-year-old, the oldest one who usually takes care of him, she's so sweet with him. He's sitting on the couch, she goes, hey Caroline, turn that up. I was like, no, get your butt up off the couch. You go turn the TV up yourself, boy. You don't tell her to turn it up. Come on. And she said, no, no, Owen, you go. No, you turn it up. Go turn it up. And he was so insistent that she turn up this TV wasn't going to get turned up. She wasn't going to do it. I told her she was going to do it. She is so sweet. She is incredibly sweet.
She was going to do it.
She was going to do it. I said, Caroline, do not turn that TV up. Do not touch that
TV. If you get up and turn that TV up, you don't live here anymore.
He needs to learn that he needs to do things for himself. I'm not going to have him be spoiled, you know?
Yeah.
He is the youngest. He is the only boy in a sea of you know, three sisters who baby the crap out of him. And I'm just trying to make sure that he understands the value of don't expect things to be handed to you.
Just hit him more. That's your problem.
That's his solution.
You don't hit that kid enough.
Well, he hits everybody else, man. And it's like if he doesn't get his way, he's immediately punching, hitting, kicking.
That's how they are.
And he's mean.
Malone likes to tackle. I think I've said that before. He's got a lot of tackling.
Yeah.
Whether he's happy, sad, mad, frustrated, tired, whatever, everything is an occasion to just fucking tackle whoever is closest to him
or anything. Yeah. That's Owen. He's rough.
Yeah.
These two need to get together. I'd like to lock them wrestle in each other. I'd like man.
To, yeah. Lock them in a room together.
They would have a blast.
Let's put
I'm
up
sure.
a cockfighting ring in the backyard, and we'll just take bets on which toddler bites it first.
it would be a good match. I think.
You know, they'd turn on us.
Well, here's another thing. It's like, it's not even just limited to his sisters and us. When we go to the park or something else like that, I'll be watching him and some little girl or, you know, usually it's a little girl will take to him a little bit and want to play with him. Well, he'll give them the time of the day, but when he's done, he's done. It's like, he comes over to me and, he asked me a question and she's coming over there with being sweet as hell. She just wants to play with him. She thinks he's cute or whatever. I don't know. And he looks at her and he says, don't follow me, go away or leave me alone. You know, this has happened on multiple occasions. And it's always something different. He's just a dick, man.
I mean, they get wound up, they get territorial and then they go to bed.
It pretty much. But in the morning, he's sweet as can be.
That's because he's recharged.
Refreshed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Charge that battery. He's good to go.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. But besides the three-nager thing that's going on, tell me your story.
He's discovered the value of the F word. And we're working on that. Because I see the value of the F word and I see the value of not being a hypocrite, but I also know he's two.
Yes.
And that's terribly offensive
for a two-year-old
to be spouting off like that. Don't get me wrong. It's hysterical and kind of cute. But
man, anytime a young kid cusses, you can't help.
Man, it's
laugh.
Hilarious.
It is. Yeah. But you also know that you got a parent and you got to make sure that it's not appropriate. Some people are,
right.
You know,
you can't talk like that. So he's gotten to the point where he's been causing so much trouble recently that I got onto him the other day. He's standing in the middle of the living room. He kind of throws his hands up in there. It looked like just a tiny version of my grandfather. Just threw his hands up in there and goes, "Ah, fuck." Said, "What did you just say?" And he goes, "I know, I'm going to my room." Took off and slammed the door. Like I was the one in trouble for asking.
What cracks me up about this the most is that he's only two, and he's like treating this like a teenager, man.
I know.
It's the teenager thing.
No, he's too smart. I've said it. He's too smart for his own
good. But the thing is you say this, and you picture a two-year-old. No, two-year-olds don't really say that. No, this kid, his vocabulary
man,
impresses the hell out of me, man. He's just...
He's a little grown-ass man.
Yeah, he really is. He's got... His vocabulary, his process, his way of thinking is still like a child, but his responses to things.
But he approaches adults like adults.
Yeah, it's so weird.
You know, it's
so weird.
It is insane. I had my buddy Chris come over last night that I hadn't seen in a long time, and it was close to bedtime, and he was only popping in for a few minutes. And he sat down on the couch, and I was like, "Hey, Malone, do you want to say hi to Chris?" He said, "I don't want to talk to Crick." And I was like, go talk to Chris. He goes, "I don't want to." And I was like, "All right, you don't have to." So we left it alone. And a few minutes later, he picks up his new truck, his fiery Flynn, takes it over to him and goes, Hey, Crick. And Chris was like, "What's up, man?" And he goes, "You want to see my fiery Flynn?" And he goes, "Yeah, let me see it." And he takes it over and Malone holds it up and goes, "He's from Thomas and Friends. He's a big red wobble on wheels. That's the episode." And explains him for just a second and goes, "He's new. I got him today." And then puts him on the floor and goes, "I'm sorry, you can't play with him." Like, this is savage. Like really sold Chris on this thing and was like,
"Yeah,
sorry, bro."
Dude.
Sorry about you. So he's a handful right now.
Imagine if he had a girlfriend at this frame of mind stage in his life. Oh, dude, I've just, like, I've thought about that because, you know, the park situation with these little girls are like,
oh, yeah. And little girls look at Malone and they flirt with him and they talk to him. But he only talks to girls that are a little bit older than him.
Oh, okay.
And he'll be like, hi, girls.
You're not mature enough for me.
Hi, girls. And then whenever they start talking to him, he'll like tuck his face into his chest and go, I don't. So it's adorable, so, you know.
It's adorable, but it's, and they'll outgrow it. They always do. Oh, I mean, my two of my girls, they went through their terrible stage or whatever. And it wasn't nearly as bad as Owen's was, but they outgrew it and they're sweet as can be now. So I know he will. It's just, man, it can't come soon enough, man. I'm sick of this dickish attitude.
And the pitching of the fits and oh man.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's your dude. That's your main dude. You know?
He got sent to his room twice before you got here. And this short span of time when I got home before you got here, Lord. He got put in his room twice.
Yeah.
He's just, he's something else, man.
We tried to implement a timeout corner in between the couch and the armchair, and he hid a shoebox full of little toys back there, like overtime collected toys, and hid them in a shoebox.
So he could play while he's in timeout.
So he started going peacefully. We knew something was up when he started going peacefully to timeout, and then we noticed that he had started hoarding toys behind the couch. Yep.
So ours is sending him to his room. If he goes without a fight and he doesn't come back out a minute later after we put him in there, we know something's up.
He's doing something fun.
And it's like always, yes. And it's always, the rules. He's got the house phone. We call it house phone. We have another cell phone that we used keeping the house for, just as a house phone, I guess. And, he either has that or one of the girls' tablets and he's in there playing that. So
yeah,
we have to go regulate, make sure that kid knows it's not playtime. This is sit and think about what you did time.
This is growing up time. You get back in your box.
The thrills of being a parent, man.
Yeah, dude.
I felt like my mom and my dad just a minute ago saying that. It's like it's weird to consider myself a parent at this point, even though I'm 34 years old, almost 35.
Dude, you're four times in.
Yeah.
It's weird to consider. Yeah.
I'm old enough. I have a 10-year-old kid, you know, and it's still weird. It's one of those things that just kind of doesn't go away.
You're in it.
To win it. All right, man. So I've got a list of few other things here to talk about, but we are running, let's see.
We're running close.
We're about 50 minutes in. So let's skip to the beer.
Oktoberfest.
Yeah, dude, I'm so pumped.
So
October and beer and, you know, just October is probably my favorite month.
Man,
honestly.
Well, I loved it as far as beer goes. Oktoberfest season has hit. I mean, we were talking yesterday. What do you think? We'll probably be doing just strictly Oktoberfest beers. Well, honestly, probably through the beginning of November.
Yeah. I mean, we're starting early right now.
I just want to stick with Oktoberfest until that shit's done. I would like to
kind of compare these, and we're off to a great start.
Coop, I must say. You did the damn thing.
Wow. Coop. Coop,
another local
brewery.
You hit
the nail on the head with this Oktoberfest. I don't know how long they've been brewing this beer, but this is the first time I've had it.
They're a few years in on it, I think. I think. I may be wrong.
Yeah. It's really good, man.
It is very good. And honestly, this sounds weird, but as far as an Oktoberfest goes, I feel like if you put this in a lineup, I could still tell it's a coop.
Yeah.
Just because of the quality of it and kind of the base of the flavor, you know?
It's not as bitter as most of their beers.
Yeah, and it's not quite as heavy as a lot of other Oktoberfests. It's really a nice medium.
It is, but it still has... I see what you're saying. It still has that kind of Coop-ish feel. For those who don't know, Coop is a local Oklahoma City brewery here.
Yeah, I've known those guys for years. Great guys, great brewery.
I've been drinking their beers for probably the past 7-8 years.
Have you ever been out to their brewery?
No, never.
And they've got a tasting room on site.
Yeah.
They have like food trucks come out there and like do tasting events like in their tap room. It's cool. They've got a really nice facility out there. It's really cool.
One of the first few times that I heard about them, they catered an event that we had at work. They didn't cater. They were out there and they had their booth and they were giving free beer for their booth. And I had it and I was like, this is freaking awesome. And I think I drank like, I don't know, four or five beers by the end of the night. Yeah. And I was just totally into their beer. And ever since then, that was the first local brewery that I'd ever had.
Yeah.
And so Coop has this kind of a special place for me, being the first local beer that I've had.
In the Oklahoma craft scene, I think Coop kind of plays that role for a lot of craft
drinkers. Aren't they kind of one of the first ones?
They were one of the pioneers in the Oklahoma
Mustang cities. I think was before they were.
Mustang was around. Mustang and Coop popped up around the same time. I mean, like, guys like Bricktown Brewery and Belle Isle Brewery been doing like the in-house microbrewing for decades.
Right.
But as far as actually full production, packaging, bottling, selling in bulk, like all of that, I mean, Mustang, Coop, those were two of the originators. Anthem's been around for a number of years now.
I thought Anthem was relatively new.
I mean, I'd say they're maybe 5 years in, okay. 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, relatively new in the beer scene in general, yeah. But as far as the explosion of the Oklahoma City craft love, I mean, they've been around a minute. But Coop has really been...
They've been a
surfing that wave for a long time.
Yeah.
And they do a great job.
Yeah, deservedly so. Yeah. I mean, they make an awesome beer. I mean, one of my favorite beers of all time is their F5.
Their
F5 IPA, which, oh my gosh.
My favorite beer.
You have to be careful
lineup.
With that beer. That beer will mess me up if I drink too much of it.
I love how you tell me I have to be careful because it'll mess you up, because I already know. They do good shit. Those of you who
I have
tried
not been let down yet. Let's just say that.
Not yet.
I was a little bit wary on this. Let me just say, okay. First of all, Oktoberfest beer, I've never been a fan of, but I've only tried a few select beers. Like the Sam Adams Oktoberfest, don't like it.
Blah.
I've tried another one that's kind of, you know, Sam Adams Lee, you know, I don't know. I don't remember what brewery made it, but I didn't like it. I saw Coop on the can, and I was like, you did good. You did good, Ryan.
Yeah.
And
the woman
sure
in the
enough,
store
did
try to lead me to the orange cans, and then I had to explain to her how being colorblind works.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so she was telling him, he was asking, were you asking for Oktoberfest or the Coop?
I was asking for a local Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she
I knew that Coop had recently dropped theirs, but not everybody's carrying it yet.
Mm.
So I was looking for it, and she's like, it's right by the yellow can. I'm like, ma'am. They look the fucking same. And she was like, no, they don't. What's wrong with your eyes? And she was just fucking with me. And I was like, well, they don't see right. Like, just to keep it simple. So then I had to explain it to her. She's like, what does purple do to you? And I was like, I love purple. It's one of the only ones I could see. And she goes, well, how do you put on clothes? And I was like, like. Like a fucking human. She goes, no, how do you pick them out? And I was like, I wear mostly like gray, black, navy blue. I have a very supportive wife who I believe doesn't fuck with me too much. And she's like, so you're not putting anything like orange and yellow? I was like, no, it's dangerous. Like,
you literally wear no orange and yellow or red for that matter. You're always in black or gray.
Black, gray,
or white.
Navy blue is pretty much as colorful as I get.
Yeah.
Or like a t-shirt with like a colorful logo.
Yeah.
Because I at least know that the base color is black, white, or gray.
Speaking of colorful logo on a t-shirt.
I got a green shirt the other day.
I'm looking into trying to get some Just a Bit Gaming logo t-shirts made at some point in time when I can come up with the funds to do so.
Show of hands, who would wear that? I bet you fucking raised your hand, didn't you? I'm talking to you, listener or viewer. You raised your hand. Adrian raised his hand.
I did.
I hope you raised your hand. Thank you for being here for us.
That is coming. That is coming. I'm going to say probably early next year.
Hoorah.
Yeah. That'll give me enough time to save up for it. Yeah. I want to get them done. I already talked to some guys at a local print shop here, and they're game to do it for me. So
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Dude, I'm all about local. You know,
yeah,
with our 10-penny, when we started 10-penny, it was all about local.
Keep it local.
Yeah. So keeping with that trend, I try to use local businesses.
Oh, hell yeah.
Local beers, you know, whatever else.
Let's talk a little bit about Oktoberfest beers. Are you familiar with like the history or what an Oktoberfest actually is traditionally?
I am not. Actually, I don't even know what is in it or anything. So go for it.
The tradition started in Germany, and the type of beer is actually called a Marzen. And I don't know. I wish I knew more about the actual tradition of a Marzen style beer, but then it became Americanized and was picked up. It's kind of a light to amber, kind of full bodied reddish ale. The thing that I love about Oktoberfests and Marzens is that depending on where you're getting it, what brewer you're getting it from, there are so many different iterations and so many different pieces that can go into it that, you know, you're going to get a different experience every time you drink one.
Yeah.
Because it's got such a broad range of rules that can still lump it into that Oktoberfest or that Marzen. And so that's what I like so much about it. It's got just enough hop to keep it from being sweet, mm-hmm. but just enough malt.
It is a little bit sweet.
It is a little bit sweet, but that's the malt that keeps it from being too hoppy, from giving it too much attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they just tend to be nice, balanced beers. I believe wholeheartedly there's a true reason why everybody waits all year for these type of beers to come out. My father-in-law, he actually has a kegerator in his house.
Yeah.
And every year he buys, like, he imports a keg of, like, actual Polliner Oktoberfest beer to drink. And so, you know, during this season over at my in-law's house, we always have, like, fresh draft Oktoberfests from That's Germany really cool. to drink all season.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we have a good time with it. That's kind of, I thought about seeing if we could go record out there so we could get into that. But, you know, with our local angle, you know.
Yeah.
This was easier, but I don't know, we might make it out there for an episode and...
Hey, if they're willing to have us, some time, I'm totally game for doing
maybe,
that.
Maybe see if my father-in-law would have a conversation with us about his time in Germany as a kid or something.
Oh, yeah? Is he from Germany?
He's from Germany.
Wow. Yeah. That would be cool.
His mother was first-generation immigrant after World War II.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is, yeah.
He was born over there.
Huh. Going to Germany and drinking some beer would be a very cool thing that my wife and I will do. After our kids are grown up and moved out.
Yeah.
She has always wanted to go to Germany. And, you know, I wouldn't mind going there myself. It would be really cool. So, yeah, we'll be doing that later. But do you ever participate in the Oktoberfests locally? Like, I know they have one in, what, Choctaw?
I've done them over the years, like, a little bit. I haven't ever gotten really involved. Like, If there's stuff like that going on, like downtown around the restaurants and bars that I work at, I'll pop in at some of those, but I don't tend to travel for them.
There's one in Tulsa that I went to with Amy, and it was a good time. Yeah, it was definitely a good time. And there's a lot of dancing, a lot of drinking, a lot of,
that's just the good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'd like to go back again with her, if we could ever get somebody to watch the kids while we do that, but yeah, it's cool. And she can't really drink beer anymore either. She has to have gluten-free beer, but I don't know if you listened to the last episode, we had a gluten-free beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, really, really good. I was shocked how good it was. You know, taking out the wheat or the barley, that's a main ingredient. Like, I don't know how they make it a gluten-free beer, but they succeeded.
I once, after having you and Amy over to the house and she told me all about like gluten allergies and stuff like that, or why she can't have gluten, all that. I mean, we talked about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I had a dream that night because I fell asleep watching. Have you ever watched Gangs of New York?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I fell asleep watching that fucking movie after talking to Amy about all this shit. And I'm not kidding. I had a dream that Amy and I were in rival gangs, and she was in a gang that was like anti-gluten and I was in a gang comprised mostly of like bakers and like, and we called ourselves the Gluten Boys.
Wow.
And we had to fight Amy's non-gluten gang.
So why aren't you making this into an actual like short film to post on YouTube?
It needs to fucking be, right? Like, I was vanquishing any of Amy's friends with loaves of bread and such.
Wow.
Cause gluten boys.
You just give them the gluten and they explode. They blow up. That's and get pretty bloated much, and explode.
They just, we didn't like kill them or hurt them. We just made them terribly uncomfortable for a few hours.
That is exactly, that is exactly right.
He's looking at you, Amy.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm surprised that, first of all, that's a pretty detailed dream.
Oh, man.
And then you were able to recall something like that?
My dreams get fucky, dude.
Dude, I don't remember my dreams that well. Like,
I've passed it on to my son.
Oh, yeah.
He had a very vivid dream the other night that a big crazy robot, as he put it, stomped into his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he hid behind his bedroom door and then whacked the robot with a pillow.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Good on
him. Or maybe the robot was behind his bedroom door, but either way, he got out of his bed and whacked the robot with a pillow, and he was telling us all about this dream.
So did he know it was a dream, or was it reality to him?
He's kind of spooked about robots coming to get him now.
Okay. So my kids are really into, they have nightmares. My 6-year-old will come in here all the time when we're in bed. I had a nightmare. Can I sleep with you? She'll come over to my side of bed. Yeah, hop in here. You know, it's like, it's nightmares are a thing with my kids for some reason.
They're a thing with Fat Big right now.
Yeah.
They've always been a thing with me, you know?
Yeah.
But I read like stupid spooky shit before I go to bed, and I watch dumb fucking movies, and like, I set myself up for this failure.
Okay.
I do. I really do.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I very rarely remember my dreams. I know I dream every night, because there would be some times when I'll wake up and I'm like, oh yeah, I was dreaming. And then I'll pass back out. And sometimes I can pick my dream back up. Sometimes I can't.
I always remember them.
Well, I'll wake up the next morning and be like, oh yeah, I remember having that dream. And I'll start to try to recall what was happening. And I'll recall just a little bit of it, and none of it, the rest of it is remembered.
It's gone.
It's gone forever.
I remember most of them.
I wish I could retain my dreams. I really do. There's so much like off the wall, weird shit, or even insightful stuff that happened in my dream that I wish that I could retain.
Oh man, I could tell you some doozies. I used to practice lucid dreaming. That's obviously a conversation for another time, but yeah, I've said it before. It gets dangerous.
Is there actually a technique for that?
It gets dangerous in here between these eyes and ears.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
It gets crazy in there.
Yeah. is there a strategy for that?
There is a technique and a strategy.
Is it a quick strategy you can?
It's like, okay, basically the short version, like, okay, so, okay, all right. Okay, so, fuck.
You remind me of this video that my wife showed me. I'm going to have to show you when we're done.
Okay.
I'm going to play it on the YouTube.
Okay.
Have you ever had a dream that you had, you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
So you lay down. That's where every American starts their sleep. All right, so you fucking lay down and you regulate your breathing and you close your eyes, and there's like a point when you're paying attention to falling asleep that I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there's like a point where like your body's asleep and your mind is almost asleep.
Yes.
And like if you recognize, like if you realize mentally that you're about to fall asleep, it snaps you back awake.
Yes.
You know that point? When you hit that point, you continue to not move and you don't open your eyes, and it'll kind of snap you back a little bit, but you allow your body to keep falling into that sleep.
That's an extreme form of meditation,
man. Yeah. And I've done this for years.
Yeah.
And you allow your body to sink into that, but you continue your thought pattern, and your thought pattern will slowly start to drift into weirder and weirder spots because your brain is starting to disassociate reality. And so there's that little piece of you that knows you're not asleep yet that just kind of keeps kind of snapping, like just a little bit. And that snap gets further and further away, but there's still that little piece of you that's still in control of it. And eventually your thought patterns will drift far enough off to sleep with your body, but there's that little piece of your subconscious that's still awake. And once you practice it enough, you can be in the middle of a dream, and there are times that you can recognize the fact that you are still in control of this dream and interact with it.
See, I've been able to do that before, but it's ultra rare.
Yeah. And you can practice it.
That's cool.
But if you practice it like all the time, like I used to try to, cause I was trying to like take notes on it. It was when I was playing in a band and I was trying to write I was writing an album at the time, like a concept album. And a lot of it had to do with dreaming actually being an alternate reality and the interaction with this alternate reality. So I was trying to interact with these dreams to kind of drive the study for writing this album. And the practice of it, you don't get restful sleep at all. And so you start to go like a little grumpy over time. And then like the grumpier,
I think it would be worth it though.
The grumpier you get, the grumpier your dreams, like they get grumpy back at you though.
Okay.
It starts to get crazy after a while. Yeah. I stopped messing with it after a while. Cause I mean, it was like, I got what I needed out of it and I was not resting well.
Yeah. So, I want to try that.
It's
that
cool.
That sounds
though.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense that you were doing that when you were in a band, because there are times when I'm trying to go to sleep and I'm halfway asleep and I'm thinking about a design, like a logo design or website design that I've been working on, you know?
Yeah.
Cause usually I'll work on that right before I go to bed and it's still going through my mind. And so as it's going through, I start generating at that time what feels like really great designs, but I'm too tired to write them down. And then I end up falling asleep, wake up the next day. Maybe I'll retain what I remember or what I was dreaming or thinking about. Most of the time I won't. I wish that I could somehow capture that. Like, I'm sure that it extends on into my dreaming, you know, those ideas thoughts. So absolutely. If I could retain that information when I wake up the next day and just jot it all down, that would be ideal, man. It really would.
Yeah.
That's something I'm going to try to practice. Honestly.
It's cool stuff. Whenever you start to mess with it, like I said, it can get tiring, but it's neat. It can be.
Yeah.
Finding yourself interacting with spooky dreams can be a bit overwhelming sometimes.
You can take control and make sure Freddy is dead.
Ooh.
Stab him with his own knives. I'm going to try that on a Friday night or something, you know? Where I don't have to worry about the next day.
Watch a scary ass movie.
Yeah.
And then try to practice lucid dreaming. Man, that movie fucked me up when I was a kid.
Yeah. I remember being terrified of that movie. That's why I really want to see the new one. We haven't seen it yet, but,
which I mean, not for nothing. I think the new, it looks way spookier than the old one.
It does for sure.
Yeah.
And it's been getting great reviews. So,
yeah.
I'm totally pumped to see that. Anyway,
what kind of
Oktoberfest beer? What is it? We kind of went way off track, but
yeah, dude.
We're
Just a Bit Gaming podcast, not sponsored by Lucid Dreaming.
Not at all.
Or maybe it is.
we're way over time now.
Do we want to skip what Ryan doesn't know?
Yeah, actually, we skipped
because I fucking know everything, really.
Pretty much. We can save those for next time.
Skipped a lot of stuff. It ended up just being a lot of catch up tonight.
Yeah, it's a reintro episode, I think, just because, you know, of your hiatus, it was needed.
And now that I'm back, I'm like, biatus. That's a bad fucking joke. You deserve better. I don't know why you're with me.
Because I love you.
He finally said it.
You've been waiting for that.
He finally said it.
I wanted to mention that Amy and I mentioned this on the last podcast, but Amy and I are going to do a month of horror for October. We're both big October fans. We were married in October. My first daughter was born in October. Fall is both of our favorite months. We like the Halloween, the spooky stuff. We like the horror games, the horror movies. So it's kind of been something that's been central to our relationship since we first met.
What's Caroline's
I think
birthday?
We met in October actually too. So
you said Caroline was born in October?
Yeah.
What day?
10th.
That's cool. Malone was born in October.
What's his birthday?
The 25th.
Our wedding anniversary is on the 24th.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. October is a good month for us and I really like it.
Also, so. I have Halloween in October every year.
Oh, me too.
How?
Dude, what are the odds?
Oh.
So, We are going to be doing a month of horror games, and we are going to start with a game called Rule of Rose on the PS2, and we're going to be streaming that on Twitch. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it on my personal Twitch channel, my @Bertazoid channel, or the Jab Gcast channel. I've been doing most of my streams on the Bertazoid channel, so I'm just kind of leaning towards sticking to that. Regardless, I will be announcing it on our Twitter feed, possibly the Instagram. We need to do a Facebook. I went to a social media marketing convention today. We're missing out on the Facebook.
They still
crowd,
believe
man.
In the power of Facebook.
They do. They say that Facebook is the way to go. So
I might let you field that one.
I'm going to go ahead and create us a page on Facebook and see if we can't reach those people who aren't on Twitter.
What is
they said that 68% of people in the United States are on Facebook.
Okay.
So
what's Patreon?
Patreon is...
I keep hearing this thrown around.
So Patreon is a thing where people can support you financially for a project that you're trying to kick off.
Does it generally involve taking off your clothes?
No.
Okay.
So okay.
Someone told me that Patreon is where cosplayers go to get naked.
Okay, I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
The only thing I know about Patreon is like a lot of other... YouTube channels and content creators, basically creatives. If they're creating something that is, has a big following and people like to watch it or listen to it or look at it or whatever, they are able to be supported by those consumers via Patreon.
If we got a Patreon, do I have to not get naked?
I mean, that could be an incentive for, you know, those people who want to pay for that or whatever.
Hell yeah.
I know you've been looking for a chance to get that.
That's all I want, dude.
Get that opportunity, but...
That's sweet, sweet Nakey.
What was I talking about?
You were talking about your
Facebook.
Month of...
Yeah.
Your month of Facebook. Or no, the month of horror.
Yeah.
Same shit, dude.
Yeah, so... More or less, dude. You are so right.
You know what's going to happen if we start
Facebook? I avoid
my
Facebook.
My mom is going to find it and then start listening to our episodes, and then she's going to find the joke I made about her being on crack.
So...
And then I won't be part of the family. Let's make a Facebook.
So my thing about Facebook is I generally try to avoid it. But, I mean... It's maybe I need to get back on it. I don't know. It seemed to be overtaken by
uninformed politicians.
Yeah. Or yes.
Yeah, dude.
Uninformed politicians who are not really politicians, but instead are family and friends.
Right. People that I'd like to retain some illusion of respect for.
But if I see them posting ignorant, what I consider to be ignorant crap, I don't want to see it anymore. So I stick with Twitter. You know what I find to be funny? My Facebook page, if I go there and I start flipping through it, I'm like, I don't agree with any of these people and I don't like what they're posting. But I go on Twitter and it's like, I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. That's the beauty about Twitter, is I can follow who I want to follow, see what kind of stuff they post. And if they post stuff I don't want to see, I just unfollow them.
That's what I like about scrolling through Instagram, is I'm like, that's a picture. That's another
Instagram
one.
Instagram is my favorite.
Instagram's the fucking jam.
Yeah, Instagram is my favorite. Being visual people, it's fun to look through.
Oh yeah.
Artwork or you know, video games, other people's collections. I love looking at other people's video game collections and
just
stuff.
Just a Big Gaming Podcast, not sponsored by loved ones' ignorant political opinions. You thought I was going to say Instagram, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Through you.
Which reminds me, we need to be a little bit more active on Instagram. I wish I could. I just social media is hard, man. Social media is hard. It's so time consuming. But we'll get there eventually. But
one of these days.
Anyway, if you want to find us on social media, where can you find us, Ryan?
Twitter.
What's the name?
Twitter. We are, what are we, at JabGcast.
That's right.
On the Twitter.
You remembered. High five for that.
And you can find us on?
Instagram.
What's the name?
At JabGcast. Same as Twitter. I'm not going to give out the Gmail because nobody... Who really emails?
Who's listening to this and is like, I'd like to send those gentlemen an electronic letter.
Yeah. generally, if you guys want to reach us, ask us questions, you know, give us discussion topics or whatever, Twitter is the avenue to do that in. We both analyze or look at Twitter, try to keep up of that as much as we can.
That's really our strongest profile. That's one we keep up with the most.
Yeah. Instagram is fine too. We both keep up with that, I think too. The Twitch page, we got at Birdazoid, and we have what, or I don't even, do they put at in front of the Twitch pages?
Dude, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm not even positive right now what my Twitch name is.
Well, anyway, whenever we get to streaming, I will post it on the Twitter page. So please follow us on Twitter.
Shit figured out.
Yeah. Also for the audio listeners only, if you want a video portion of this podcast, please look up, Just a Bit Gaming Podcast on YouTube, and you'll find all the video portions of every video we've done. Unfortunately, the camera cut out on this episode a little bit through. I tried to fix it, but I ran out of space.
Oh, that's okay.
I set it at a higher quality setting than I normally do. So not just realizing that I didn't realize that the memory card wasn't big enough to hold it. So sorry, guys. You know, I will get this video stuff taken care of at some point, but until then, we're good. Ryan, it's good to see you, man.
Man, it's been good to be back. I've missed you and this microphone and this computer and that. I've missed all of you that I can't see right now. The like five of you that listen and watch.
I snorted. You made me snort.
It's good to be back. I'll see you guys in another 2 or 3 months.
We'll try to get you back on the next episode. I know you've got a busy schedule and you never really know when you're going to be available.
But we've got some events coming up we're going to try to be a part of. Yeah, so you guys will see and hear from me, and hopefully I won't have to skip any more episodes.
Awesome. All right, guys.
Love you.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Adios.
I need to play a theme for my life.
This would be it. Here comes your potty break.
Tyrannosaurus Rex was a very mean king. Dum, 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 dum.
Are you
dum,
singing a real
dum,
song right
dum.
Now?
Yes, but I don't remember the words. It's an old elementary song I used to sing in kindergarten, I think.
Little short arms couldn't touch his thing.
I want to sing the whole song, but I don't remember the words, and I can't ad-lib.